You're listening to East Tennessee's premier sports radio call-in show. This is The Drive.
You know, I love Tennessee. I got a lot of orange blood in my body.
What are you doing?
The second hour of The Drive.
Wow.
You going to give me a heads up or anything?
What things have come to?
You're out there flapping your gums with Reed.
Wow. What a great producer.
The rest of us were in here waiting.
Are you going to say anything? Are you just going to let the stupid John Cena song play, bro? Just ran off half the audience because you didn't say, hey, Russell, on the air. Like, usually people say, hey, 1 minute. 30, boom, you're on, like, nothing? Really? You're just going to let the music play? No. Like, what would happen if the music had run out?
Did I not say, hey, we got a minute?
No.
I didn't hear any of that.
No, you didn't.
He said it very low.
I didn't hear that at all.
Like, I wasn't hearing
that. Brandon's the only one. All right, so Brandon, you heard it. Why didn't you say anything?
I was going to. And
did he tell you? Wait.
He told me.
He
not
told
to.
You not to.
He told me not to say anything.
I was about to say. I bet you he told.
So you're purposely sabotaging the show now, just for your own amusement?
No.
What the hell, man?
Wow.
This is what I deal with.
You said, "Let's see how long it takes before he realizes that we're on."
Ooh.
What are you doing? Good Lord, man.
The plot Dickens.
All right. You can add that to the list of things we're going to talk about after the show.
Wow.
Hour number two of The Drive underway.
Sorry for the delay. It was on the producer.
Fox Sports Knoxville. All right. Let's see. What do we got to do here? How about Citizens National Bank? Official bank of The Drive. Tomorrow is Financial Freedom Friday over at Citizens National Bank. You want to check out their new blog. All kinds of money-saving tips and money-making tips at CNBTN.com. You can also follow them on Twitter at CNBTN, and we'll be tweeting something out from the official Fox Sports Knoxville station account tomorrow to give you some free financial advice from our friends at Citizens National Bank. 21 branches throughout Knox, Sevier, and Jefferson counties. Their branches inside area grocery stores open until 7. It's always really convenient, especially for those of us who work till 6. And they're open on Saturdays till 2 p.m. Open most holidays. Citizens National Bank, man. Right here. Bank local. Simplify your life with Citizens National Bank. All right. Hour number two of the show, getting fired up here on Fox Sports Knoxville, wrapping up SEC Media Days down in Atlanta. Auburn, Vanderbilt, and South Carolina all taking to the podium today to wrap things up. And pretty uneventful SEC Media Days, if we're being honest, except for the little Georgia Jeremy Pruitt kerfluffle, which has kind of subsided here as we move along. I find it interesting, like there's no real apology from those Georgia guys. Just kind of left it at that, and we'll see. Interesting rivalry between Jeremy Pruitt and Georgia. Little heat there, obviously, left over. And I can't help but wonder, you know, obviously Georgia has passed Tennessee and Florida in terms of SEC East supremacy. And I don't think Florida's going away anytime soon, but it almost feels like Georgia might be making a run to supplant Florida as our 1A, 1B rival. You know, Alabama's always been Tennessee's biggest rival. That rivalry is not much of a rivalry right now, but no rivalry exists with Alabama because they've just been clobbering everybody for over 10 years now.
Yeah, I might give Auburn a little bit of credence there.
Yeah, they've gotten their licks in.
Yeah.
I do wonder, though, man, like if Georgia – and Kirby's not going anywhere. That's his alma mater. He's a young guy. If they become what we've always thought they could become under Kirby Smart, which is a giant in the world of college football, will they kind of move past Florida as Tennessee's big rival next to Alabama?
I think Florida. There's still a lot of hate there for Florida, so I think Florida's going to be there for a while, even with the rise of Georgia, because when you think of a rivalry too, like you said, Alabama's not much of a rivalry that much anymore because of the dominance. I mean, Georgia, and we'll see what Pruitt does in the next coming years, but Georgia's going to dominate Tennessee for a couple years, in my opinion. And so you always kind of hold your rivalries close to the guys. You know, you always play really good games with. I see Florida being that for the next couple years to come. I mean, it might change. I mean, it's true. But I think you – not so much a rivalry because, I look at the dominance of Georgia. I'm like, that can't really be a rivalry right now. They're doing it at a higher level until we get to that point.
I mean, we did beat them in 2000, and you know, the 2 years before now. Yeah. I mean, they did clobber us last year, but, I mean –
I'll still look at Florida.
I mean, we won two out of the last three with them.
You hate them, man. I mean, do you hate them more than Florida?
Yeah, I always have.
We'll make that our Rickard Rich Barbecue smoking hot question. Is Georgia supplanting Florida as – is Georgia a bigger rivalry for the Vols right now than Florida?
There you go.
About that. 865-546-8200, your Rickard Ridge Barbecue smoking hot question. 865-546-8200. Rickard Ridge Barbecue, located in beautiful Cove Lake State Park. You check them out online at rickardridgebbq.com. They'll do a great job catering your next office or lunch event. rickardridgebbq.com. Florida was not always as big a rival as it seems now. And I would argue that rivalry was bigger 10 years ago than it is now. It's tapered off a little bit because both programs have tapered off a little bit. And I know some folks will go back to the 60s with Tricky Dicky and all that stuff will say, you know, that's always been a big rivalry. But, you know, when I was growing up in the 80s.
I mean, we didn't play them forever.
It wasn't that big a deal. Auburn was a bigger rival because we did play them every year. And then when the conference split into divisions and all that stuff and expanded in 92, we stopped playing Auburn every year and started playing Florida every year. And, of course, that coincided with Spurrier's rise to prominence at Florida. And all of a sudden, Florida became, for the 90s anyway, and the early part of the 2000s, that was a bigger game than Alabama. Now, people might consider Bama a bigger rival, but the Florida game was a bigger game, a more important game. There's just no debating that at the time. I feel like the rivalry has dipped off a little bit as both teams have sort of backslid here the past couple of years. Now, it could certainly
– it could heat right back up in a heartbeat. You think Pruitt and Mullen will be able to get – like, I see that Pruitt and Smart, it's going to be real easy for them to develop some heat. I'm not so sure about Mullen.
Well, it's never going to be dull, Tennessee and Florida, obviously. I mean, it's always going to be a big rivalry game. But as long as Georgia, and I don't see them slowing down anytime soon, as long as they're as good as they are, I mean, that's going to be a rivalry fraught with tension and acrimony and all that stuff here for the next several years. Your thoughts? 865-546-8200. Brandon Orica, what do you think? You're part of the younger generation. How would you rank Tennessee's rivalries in the SEC as it stands right now? If you just, you know, 1, 2, 3.
Right now, I think I'd have to go Georgia. I mean,
Georgia number one over Bama and Florida. Wow.
I mean, if you're looking at it right now, I mean, I feel like Florida and Alabama, you got to look at the historical, I mean, back
sure
20, however many years ago. If you look at it right now, I mean, Georgia, those games are close. Seems like every, with the exception of last year, they go back and forth. I mean, the whole Florida thing, we talked about that, last week? Is it even a rivalry to Florida now? And Alabama's the same way. So right now I'd go Georgia, Florida, Alabama.
And just the amount of recruiting that we do down in Georgia. We already had the – I think a lot of this animosity right now stems from the recruitment of Quay Walker last year, who was thought to be a pretty strong Tennessee lean and ended up signing with Georgia at the very last minute. But, I mean, you look at what Pruitt and these guys are trying to get back in there, man. We got the Beasley kid, obviously Wanye Morris, Ramel Keaton is from down there, the tight end Sean Brown from down there as well. The tight end Jackson Lowe, we got two Georgia tight ends coming to Knoxville, and they're trying to sign a couple of more. I think Georgia, Lane Kiffin said it in 2009. He said, this is our biggest game. But just because of what Georgia means to us from a recruiting perspective, this is our biggest game. Now, you might say, you know, Lane Kiffin doesn't represent Tennessee, but obviously he had that game circled. Fulmer had it circled. We all know what Georgia recruits meant to the 1990s run of dominance from Tennessee. Seems like that is about to ramp back up. We'll take a quick break. We'll come back, get your phone calls rolling here on the McKinney team phone lines this afternoon. We'll also find out who's on the docket. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Brill. You are listening to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville Fan Run Radio. Beautiful Thursday afternoon. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The Drive. Listening to The Drive. Get some. The Docket. Brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. The official law offices of The Drive. Injured? Call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill. They'll come to you. Visit their website at reckintoacheck.com. Now, to The Docket.
Jury selection continuing today in the A.J. Johnson trial. Nothing real newsy to report there. We'll keep you up to date if anything happens. I imagine this is going to go on for the next week or two. Meanwhile, speaking of plastic surgery, speculation in hour number one whether or not Nick Saban has had a little work done this offseason. I would advise you to go back and look at some of the footage from SEC Media Days yesterday. I think Nick Saban definitely hitting up the Botox this summer. A celebrity plastic surgeon known as Dr. Bum Bum has gone on the run in Brazil after a woman died following a procedure to enlarge her buttocks.
Oh my God.
45-year-old Dennis Furtado is believed to have given acrylic glass filler injections to 46-year-old Lillian Calixto at her home in Rio de Janeiro. Bank manager Miss Furtado fell ill during the procedure and was taken to a hospital where she died. Police launched a manhunt for Dr. Furtado after he disappeared following the patient's death. They have arrested the surgeon's 19-year-old girlfriend who worked in his surgery, his mother, who is a disqualified doctor, and a nurse who helped with the procedure. All three were held on suspicion of qualified homicide and criminal association, according to Brazilian newspaper Extra. A judge issued an arrest warrant for Dr. Furtado, who was declared a fugitive by investigators after they were unable to find him. The surgeon has almost 650,000 followers on Instagram, where he regularly posted pictures of women's buttocks before and after procedures. Social media site has given him the name Dr. Bum Bum. Affectionate nickname given to him by his patients in recognition of his work as a qualified physician in bioplasty. Dr. Bum Bum on the loose. When will they bring Dr. Bum Bum to justice?
Hopefully soon. Dr. Bum Bum, I like that. I don't like what he did. I like the name.
Well, what are you, like?
I got shot in the buttocks.
Literally.
I mean, that's got to be double whammy. You go in, first of all, you got a saggy butt.
Right.
You go to Dr. Bum Bum in Brazil, want the hookup. Lift this thing up. Make it look tight. Make it look brand new. It, what did they say? An acrylic glass filler.
Yeah.
Put, I mean, putting it, glass it, yeah. in her rear end?
Yes.
That's what they do?
If you go down there to have, like, I know somebody right now. You've met them. Both of you have.
Yeah.
I'll tell you who it is at the break.
Who's had bum bum surgery?
No, she's planning on going and having, like, all this plastic surgery done down in South America.
Because it's illegal here?
Because it's cheaper.
Oh. Well, yeah, because they're like, she's you got a bunch 40. Of quacks.
Well, that's what we've all tried to explain to
her. Dr. Nick down there giving you a bum bum injection. Dr. Nick Riviera from The Simpsons. Anybody? You know, nobody got the reference?
I did not get that reference at all. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of like quacks too, but I mean, a lot of people travel outside of the United States to get medical work done sometimes.
I wouldn't go to South America to have it done. I mean, let's not act like they're going to
have you
to
been
somewhere.
To South America?
No, but there's stories
How
everywhere
would you know?
About shady
what are these
plastic
stories?
Surgeons.
In South America specifically?
Yes.
What's what?
In Colombia. Specifically,
you have to look this up.
No, I mean,
like you're generalizing.
No,
I'm with
really
Bear
not.
Here. I mean, like we have certain governmental regulations here in the United States that protect against
most modernized country. I don't know. I mean, for whatever reason, down there you could it's fly by night.
Well, I mean, we all anybody who watched the first season of Friday Night Lights, the TV show, have we all seen that, or are we
no,
all familiar? No, you haven't watched
never
it.
Never watched it.
Chance, you've watched
I've
it.
I've watched it before, but I wasn't like. That big of a
Brandon,
fan.
You haven't seen
I have
oh
watched
gosh,
it.
Such a great show,
it.
Man. Heartwarming. Coach Eric Taylor, just the best. Just the best. And, you know, the quarterback, the young quarterback, I believe his name was Jason. It's been like 10 years since I watched this show on Netflix. You got to go see it. It's the greatest.
It is one
I
of
thought
the
it was
top
kid
shows.
That ended up being the dead-eyed Opie kid. And
no, he was he was in that too, but he played a different character. Todd.
Was he his...
No, he was a good kid in there. Like he was kind of like a dorky kid, but he's on the football
killer?
Team. No. Anyway, the quarterback in the first season, spoiler alert, suffers a spinal injury. He's paralyzed. He can't play football. His identity has been taken away from him. So he hears about an experimental surgery they perform in Mexico where they take stem cells from a shark and inject them.
Oh my God!
I'm not. I get it. Like this was the storyline. It's.
I mean, it's not that far.
He went down to Mexico to have this procedure done in like some shady back alley, like surgery office, and I don't know what do you call it. And I guess his friends came and talked him out of it at the last minute because there was like a significant chance of death. And he was like, I don't care if I can't play football. I don't want to live. And they like talked him out of it. It was a big heartwarming thing and everything. But that's what this sounds like. You go down there and get you some shark cells injected into you, into your buttocks.
Yeah, but I mean, I've read stories where people have had like, you know, like basically like silicone caulk.
Yeah. And then it like leaks inside.
No, I'm
you
just talking like the stuff you get at Home Depot that you seal your damn windows with.
In like body parts and stuff and breasts and buttocks, things like that.
Yeah, they're just injecting stuff that's not. I mean, we're not talking about like normal plastic surgery type implants or anything.
Oh man. This lady had traveled to Rio from her home in Cuiabá, a city in central Brazil, traveled there for the surgery Saturday evening. The procedure was carried out at an apartment in the upmarket district of Barra de Tijuca. That's probably not a good sign when you're having surgery in somebody's apartment. Hey, come on, we're at Woodlands West. Come on up. Just knock on the door. There's an entry code. Just hit the buzzer and I'll buzz you up. We'll come in here and perform butt enhancement surgery on you. She had the surgery after the doctor had been, Dr. Bum Bum had been recommended to her by her friends. After she fell ill, the doctor takes her to the hospital at Barra de Ouro, where she was admitted to the emergency department at 11 p.m. She was conscious upon arrival, but her condition deteriorated and doctors were unable to resuscitate her after her heart stopped. Very sad story. She's married with two children. Tragedy. And the hospital's director said the patient was believed to have suffered a pulmonary embolism due to silicone injection.
I mean, if you just Google plastic surgery nightmare South America, I mean, it's just every article is about
but like, why would you Google that?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
You're going to be a...
I mean, you say if you Google, but I was just wondering, like, you said, like you, like,
No, I'm trying to find the one article I saw, because, I mean, they were injecting, like what's it, acrylic?
Glass acrylic injection.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like stuff that you don't inject into your body down there. Colombia's really bad about it.
Grit says, imagine how the inmates are going to accept Dr. Bum Bum.
With open arms, probably.
Smitty says, her husband must feel guilty. It's not funny. She's a dead woman in Brazil. You wouldn't laugh if it happened here in East Tennessee. What, just because it's further away, it's in the Southern Hemisphere, it's funny? We can laugh at the lady who died because of the acrylic glass injected into her rear end? It's not funny. It's not funny, Grit. Smitty. Good grief.
Grit's been on a roll.
Yeah, BK sending me pictures of Kramer from Seinfeld with the Ass Man license plate.
Ass Man.
Yeah, very funny. I'm glad you guys are amused. It's not funny. It's not laughing.
I think you are, though.
I'm not. Am I laughing? I've got a serious face on right now.
Serious, funny looking face.
All right, that is the docket brought to you by Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill, the official law offices of The Drive. You check them out online at wreckintoacheck.com or call 865-546-1111. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill.
They'll come to you.
No matter where you are. And turn your wreck into a check. Ogle, Elrod, and Burrill is online right there at wreckintoacheck.com, or you can call 865-546-1111 for OEB. Gary Danielson earlier today on 102.5 The Game in Nashville said about Jeremy Pruitt, quote, he's the perfect guy for what Tennessee needs. They were soft. Their practices were hard to watch. Phil Fulmer knew it.
So we're working like heck.
I feel like Gary Danielson was just so put off by watching Tennessee football for how long has he been doing that? He's been doing that for like 10 years. I remember.
Gary suffered right along with us having to watch this crap.
We had him on the show like 3 years ago, maybe even 4 years ago. And I remember Richie D asked him, have you ever seen Tennessee win? And that was his reaction. He started laughing and he was like racking his mind. He's like, I don't think so. And he had been doing the SEC on CBS for like 7 or 8 years at that point. Like that, we figured
2016 Florida was the first time they'd won with him.
It was 2015 Georgia was it with the year they had the big comeback. That was the first Tennessee win Gary Danielson did. After like 8 years, maybe even 10 of doing those games, we had a long CBS winning streak, losing streak. And then we won a couple. We won that one, and we beat Florida the next year and Georgia. And then we had a little winning streak going on there, and they liked us. But so Gary Danielson says we were soft.
He wasn't lying.
I think they definitely got soft in 2016 after they ran off Dave Lawson. But you go back and look at some of those rushing numbers when we were putting up 220-plus rushing yards a game in 2015 and 2016. I don't think we were very soft. I think it fell apart when he let some of the veterans talk him into running Dave Lawson off. And then you had the Surgeon debacle, and Gullickson never got a chance to get traction. But I don't know. We were definitely soft last year, but I think it was just it had all fallen apart so bad that it was just hard to get it back, get the car back in between the ditches. I mean, what Gary Danielson is saying, that your practices were hard to watch. Butch Jones, what are you doing?
Be kind.
It's kind of an open season on Butch this week, hasn't it? Did you hear
Feinbaum? It's been open season on Butch for a year, man.
Did you hear that? I was about to say it's been open season. I did not hear that clip. Do you have a lot to say of cutting down Butch?
He called him a...
It was brutal.
Where was it at? Carney Barker? He called him a disingenuous Carney Barker.
Oh, here it is. Here it is. What chance here?
It's great radio.
And I think what he is trying to do and what he did today was to draw a line of demarcation between what was and what is and what is going to be. Let's just be perfectly frank. I mean, he was honest and refreshing. A year ago, Butch Jones was disingenuous, thin-skinned. He was a pathetic Carney Barker, and he's now gone, and Tennessee fans want to see a real coach up there, and they have a real coach, and they also have a real athletic director, the man who should have been hired in the first place, who was passed over in spite of everything Philip Fulmer has done for this university. I think for the first time in a long time, the University of Tennessee is back on the right track.
Did you notice he's starting to sound a little bit like Lou Holtz?
Didn't hear it.
You mean Corso?
No, Feinbaum.
Feinbaum sounds like Lou Holtz.
He has no lisp. Lou Holtz has
a natural lisp. Man. I'm with Chance on this one. Is there any Holtz thing? No.
Don't hear it at all.
Yeah.
You're reaching.
It's there.
It's a bad segment for you.
Ooh.
Brandon like
that. Wow.
Go to hell, Chance.
Brandon
Chance is like making up for missed time. He hasn't been on the show in a week. He just wants to bash on the bear.
You interrupted Russell to play a clip that everybody had already heard.
Twice.
Twice after he was like.
Go ahead and play it again. You know you want to hear it four times. Go for the quattro.
I'm sure you got the Damian Harris quote somewhere too for me.
No, I don't have that one.
Anytime we get a shot at Butch, the bear's taking it.
Let the intro roll for 2 minutes earlier. For reasons that are still unclear to me.
Leaving Russell out to dry on that one.
Stay with us. The drive continues. We'll open it up for your phone calls on the McKinney team phone lines, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. We're back with more after this.
The drive.
Known badasses. More like known dullards. This is The Drive.
This amazing story here during the break. Grizzlies center Mark Gasol participated in the rescue of a migrant woman adrift in the Mediterranean Sea this past Sunday. The woman was from Cameroon. She was the survivor of a shipwreck and was clinging to a piece of wood for 48 hours. Gasol, who's part of a Spanish nonprofit organization, Proactiva Open Arms, whose mission is to rescue refugees and migrants trying to get to Europe from Africa and the Middle East, said there were pieces of wood and clothes floating in the water. Then there was that woman with her elbows resting on a wooden beam. Her eyes were lost in the void. Goodness. Said she was weak and in shock. She'd been cleaning that piece of wood with her last bit of strength, and it remained that way for 48 hours. I thought this woman and her strength, and I felt anger. So Marc Gasol's out there in the off season, patrolling the Mediterranean in a boat, trying to save shipwrecked people fleeing war-torn countries and whatnot. Pretty amazing stuff.
I'm not surprised. The Gasols are very, cultured individuals. Playing ball over in Spain, I could see that from Marc Gasol. He's got that grit and grind playing in Memphis.
Today's Rickard Ridge Barbecue.
What the hell is that?
What?
What?
The whole riff. He just the Gasols.
They are. I've read about them.
Okay.
Like you say, I read a couple articles about them.
Where are these articles at?
He's a good dude, man. He's out there riding around their boat.
How dare you?
All the rest of the NBA guys are what?
I mean,
what,
I'm sure he's an NBA guy doing a chance of sitting here giving a damn testimonial about the whole Gasol family.
He saved a life. What do you want?
He's a good guy. That
they're
mean
good
anybody,
Samaritans.
They're okay.
I mean, he's not trying to give him the Nobel Peace Prize or anything. He's just we're giving props. It's an incredible story.
I said I wasn't surprised. They're good Samaritans. They've done a lot for Spain where
they're just
from.
Trying to crap all over a feel-good story, man. Like, they're just sitting here talking about Dr. Bum-Bum for the past 10 minutes, being on the run in Spain. I thought we'd even out the scales a little bit, throw a nice human interest story in there.
This
no,
is nuts.
Bear's going to have to take a big dump all over it. Can't feel good on the drive. Got to feel bad.
No, I was taking a shot at chances. I didn't know you were an authority on the Gasol
it
family.
It wasn't really a good shot. It was a swing and a miss.
Whatever,
just
dude.
Just a bit outside.
Your Gasol family. I didn't realize you were family friends of the Gasols.
I said the Gasols. What are you doing? They're good Samaritans. They've done a lot for poverty-stricken areas in Spain where they are from. Goodness. It's noted.
The thing about the Gasol family is interesting to me. They're like the Williams sisters. Remember, like, we talked about earlier in the week, how, like, Venus was supposed to be the dominant one, and she was at first,
yeah.
And then Serena, too. Like, Powell was the awesome. They were both really good, but, like, Mark has become the better player, right? Like, he's had the better career. I know Powell got a couple of rings with the late, but am I wrong? Is Mark Gasol a little bit better?
He is.
Like,
he's the better
player. He turned
player.
Into a dominant player.
Yeah, he did, and he was the one that actually, you know, kind of what you're talking about, Serena and Venus, he was the one that was the chubby kid in high school in Memphis that they didn't expect to be. You got something to say?
Yes, yeah. Brandon.
John was shaking his head at your Pau Gasol take.
No?
He's since fled. John disagreed with you.
I mean, I still think Mark is the more talented brother, but Pau Gasol has won the rings. He has. He played with Kobe, though, too, so.
Mm-hmm.
If he doesn't play with Kobe, does he get those two rings?
Yeah, they're both very good.
It.
Yeah, you put Mark. If you switch
put
him.
All right, put it. Hey, listen, I don't pretend to be some expert on the subject, but I'll ask Chance. If you had your choice, you're building an NBA team from scratch, and you could have Powell in his prime or Mark in his prime, who are you taking? Who are you taking?
I'd probably take Mark still. I think he's a little bit better defensively than Powell. But Pau Gasol was, I mean, finesse. He was great. He's a good passing big man. He could score a lot. Now he's even – they both kind of stretched their game out too. I mean, Marc Gasol can shoot threes. I'd probably take Marc.
Is Powell still playing?
Yeah, he is for the Spurs. Yeah. But, you know, like probably like 12, 15 minutes a game, nothing serious. Just a role player.
Just riding it out.
Yeah, a role player. He still starts. He can probably get you about 10 to 12 points a game sometimes.
You know what movie I watched late night? Speaking of washed-up guys who have trouble letting it go.
What did you watch?
I watched Mr. Baseball – with Tom Selleck.
Ooh.
A classic.
Great movie.
A classic.
Great movie.
Uplifting story of triumph of the human spirit and will. You've never
don't
seen
even
it.
Ask.
You've never seen Mr. Baseball?
He's never seen anything. He's never seen a movie before. He just doesn't watch stuff.
You've seen Major League, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
I feel like he just said that. You haven't seen Major League, have you?
I have.
You have? All right.
Never seen Mr. Baseball. Wow.
Let me tell you. Let me give you the gist of it, Brandon.
Yep.
Let me give you the Mr. Baseball's timeless tale of a former major leaguer who he's playing with the Yankees. He's a great power hitting first baseman, but he's been passed up by the young up and comer, Tom Selleck. He's in his late 30s. Gets called into the manager's office. They say, Mr. Baseball, I don't know what his name, I can't even remember what his character was. What was his name? I watched this last
Jack.
Time. Jack. Jack. They say, Jack.
Jack Elliott.
Jack Elliott. They say, Jackie boy, we tried to trade you. We couldn't find any takers. There was just one taker, and they end up trading him to Japan. And so he goes over to Japan, and it's total culture shock. The guy from the Allstate commercial is over there to, like, kind of help him. You know, that's Allstate, Stan. That guy, he's a Serrano from Major League. He's, like, been typecast as a baseball player now. He's over there, and he kind of helps Tom Selleck adjust to Japanese culture.
Dennis Haysbert is the man's name.
Yep. Tom Selleck doesn't want to adjust. He just wants to get back to the States. But lo and behold, he falls in love with a beautiful Japanese woman by the name of Hiroshi.
Nope. Have you ever seen Eastbound and Down?
No.
Okay, then. I was going to
give
you something to compare.
And Hiroshi, their relationship develops Jack Elliott's at odds with his manager, who's a very traditional Japanese guy, wants him to practice hard, wants him to adapt to Japanese customs. Tom Selleck doesn't want to do that because he feels that he invented the game. He feels that there's nothing these Japanese people can teach him. But guess what, Brandon? Guess what?
What?
The manager turns out to be Hiroshi's father.
Oh, yeah.
Plot twist, huh? Plot twist of Mr. Baseball. So what happens?
This is the deepest dive ever that I've ever heard from Mr. Baseball. So what, enjoy, Brandon.
So what happens? Mr. Baseball comes around. He falls in love with Hiroshi. He starts to embrace Japanese culture. He starts to work harder. He starts to embrace the things that his coach is teaching him. And guess what? He breaks out of his slump. He finds his swing. He gets back in the game. He gets the girl, and it's a happy ending. That's what Pau Gasol's going through now. He needs a nice American woman to teach him there's more to life than basketball. You can do something else when you have to hang it up, Pau. What are you doing riding the pine for the Spurs, playing 12 minutes a game? You're washed up. It's pathetic.
Give it up.
Mr. Baseball, 13% on
right. Oh, no.
I wouldn't tell you that
it's a good movie.
Critically acclaimed. It's a cult classic.
We have exposed Rotten Tomatoes this week, I felt like, for the sham that it is.
I don't know about that.
Yeah. I watched a damn movie the other night. It had, 84, 85? Look it up for me. 84, 85% American.
Have you seen Mr. Baseball?
Of course, like multiple times.
Yeah, you like it, right? It's a good movie.
Mr. Bishabora. Remember that guy?
What the hell did you just do? And never do it again.
Mr. Bishabora.
Oh, my goodness.
That was a line in the movie. I'm just repeating a line in the movie.
Oh, man.
All right, then.
Mr. Baseball with Tom Selleck.
Oh, there's some Mr. Bishabora. Whatever.
Oh, Mr. Baseball.
Baseball.
Hit ball long way.
What was that stuff he had to advertise?
Yeah, they put him in a commercial for it was like some sort of energy drink or something. And
Happy something.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I haven't seen it in a long time.
He has the Japanese bath, you know, like in Japan.
They take bathing to a whole nother level.
Well, yeah. I'm going to drop some knowledge on you, Brandon. I bet you didn't know this. You probably don't know much about Japanese culture. I'm just generalizing. You strike me as a guy who hasn't gone down that rabbit hole. True?
I mean, I know some. I mean, you can try.
Did you know that in Japanese bathrooms, the toilet and the wash tub are not in the same room? The toilet is in its own room.
I didn't know that.
In Japan, they have you have a bathtub, but then you have a separate area with a drain on the floor. You sit on a little stool and wash yourself first with one of those handheld shower devices. You get all soapy and then you wash that stuff off and then you get in the bathtub. That's how they do it. That's how they do it.
Interesting.
Get in the bathtub and relax.
And
no stalls, Brandon, at the gym for you. Everybody's sitting on a stool.
Yeah, that was in Mr. Baseball, he comes out, he's all dirty. They come out off the practice field after they're practicing, and all the players are sitting on their little stools, getting all soapy, getting all scrubbed up, and Mr. Baseball just comes over there and just jumps in the hot tub. And they're like, oh, no! And they're like, run over there. You can't just jump in the hot tub. You got to get clean first. You're dirtying up the hot tub that we all got to. He's like, no, man. This is how we do it in the States. I come right off the field, hot, sweaty, dirty, right in the tub. Oh, no, Mr. Baseball, you can't do that. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm the American here. I'm the one who plays baseball. I do what I want. He was the ugly American.
Yes, but he was.
Happy ending. He learns the error of his ways. He gets the girl, learns a little bit about himself.
And he becomes a better person.
Yeah, exactly. It's a
coming of age tale about the coming of age, Brandon.
A timeless tale of baseball players.
Now you know
finding
everything
their inner spirit
about Mr. Baseball.
Yeah, did I cover it all? I feel like
I think you did. I'm telling you, that's the deepest dive.
I don't even have to watch the movie now.
I think you do.
I think you do. You have to.
I don't think you do.
Yeah, probably not.
You won't miss anything.
Stay with us. The drive continues. Fox Sports Knoxville, 865-546-8200, 546-8200. your number to get on the show with us this afternoon. We'll be right back on Fox Sports Knoxville.
The Drive.
Now return to The Drive on Fox Sports Knoxville.
Mr. Baseball, 17% on Rotten Tomatoes. I got your Rotten Tomatoes right here. I don't even know what that means. It makes me mad. Triggers me. We welcome you back to Fox Sports Knoxville and The Drive. Let's check the at Fox Sports Knox Twitter poll on your Rickard Ridge smoking hot question. Has Georgia passed Florida as Tennessee's biggest non-Baja rival? Baja? That's supposed to be Bama. What a dope we look like. We've had that up for half an hour now. It says non-Baja rival instead of non-Bama rival. Oh,
no,
man.
No, Bear.
Man.
Don't point your finger at me.
No.
Can I get a sad trombone for the at Fox Sports Knox Twitter account? What a swing and a miss. Boy, how dumb do we look? Not good for the brand.
What's this wee stuff? You got a mouse in your pocket? Who put it up?
Listen, it doesn't matter who put it up.
That means Russell put it up. If it was young Brandon, he'd be getting a third degree right now.
It's up there. It's we're all one family. We're all on the same team. I look bad. Brandon looks bad. John looks bad. Houston looks bad. We all look bad when you have a major typo. And it's been up for 34 minutes. The poll question, we can't take it down now. Should we take it down? I don't know.
Non-Baja. Or you have a Baja Blast on your mind, Russ?
Non-Baja rival. Big rivals with Baja.
Yeah.
I've always said Baja is our biggest rival here at Tennessee. Those darn Bajas. Man, I feel stupid now. Has Georgia passed Florida as Tennessee's biggest non-Bama rival?
Roll down tide.
76% of the audience says?
Certainly not.
No. Nope, they're not feeling it. But 24% of the audience says, yeah, it's Georgia now. Outside Clutter on Twitter says, I don't think it's a bigger rivalry than Bama or Florida, but I hate Georgia 1,000 times more than those schools. I feel like that's what Bear has been trying so ineloquently to say for the past 5-6 months. Georgia's not a bigger rival than Bama or Florida, but you hate them 1,000 times more than Bama or Florida.
I felt like I've been pretty clear in my statements on Georgia. I hate them with the heat of 1,000 supernovas.
You really hurt Kirby Smart for whatever reason.
I mean, he was a punk in the 90s.
He wasn't even that prominent of a player.
Pretty punchable face, Kirby Smart. Pretty punchable face. He's got the Bama bangs.
Yeah.
The visor, the whole nine yards, and the way he stands there with his hands on his stupid hips, looking stupid, like stupid Kirby Smart.
Wow. Talking about the man's hair. He's stupid. Wow.
Stupid look on his smug look on his face.
Consider me shocked.
Kirby Smart. More like Kirby Dumb. JT says, I think so, but I live in Georgia, so I'm surrounded by barking idiots.
That definitely plays a role into it.
Where you live?
Well, no. If you've ever had to either A, wait on them, live around them, just be around them and have to do anything to do with them. I mean, what kind of moron just stands there and barks at you in a bar? I mean, I don't know what. Yeah, that doesn't tell me what kind of cocktails you want. Okay? These people are obnoxious. Jackasses. And I hate them. And I hope we harvest like 5 or 6 ACLs. Because I haven't forgotten about that Poblano guy that cheap shot at Shy Tuttle and sidetracked his career. Then they put him on the ticket,
Bear.
Russ. I haven't forgotten about the ticket.
First of all.
You want to know why I hate Georgia? I hate Georgia. They're just scum.
Oh, my God.
I hate them.
First of all, we have harvested 2 or 3 ACLs over the past couple of years. Yeah. Chubb, the Marshall kid.
Yeah, dude.
We've done that. I feel like it's even. Let's not Let's just hope nobody else gets
nobody cheap shotted Chubb. The Poblano shot on Sha Tuttle was a cheap shot because he was getting dominated by Sha Tuttle.
That's football.
He ruined his career.
He's not ruined his career yet. He's
never been the same player, Russ.
He's 100% now. We'll see what
he's
going to
do this year.
He'll probably get hurt again in the Georgia game.
No, don't say that.
They're going to cheap shot
him. It might happen.
But, yeah, I hate Georgia, but Florida's a bigger rival.
Matlock Tire, the official tire provider of Fox Sports Knoxville, in business for 65 years now. Here in East Tennessee, they've got four locations, Farragut, Lenoir City, Maryville, and Athens. They're the home of the price match guarantee. You bring in any competitor's ad, and they'll match the exact tire for that exact same price. Matlock Tire, going the extra mile for you. Visit them online at matlocktireservice.com. Coming up, hour number three, set the stage for you. What you talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Stay tuned for your cue to call. Another spot in What You Talking About Champions League up for grabs. We've already got Westchester and Fuller.
Were you aware of that?
Westchester and Fuller made it.
Westchester qualified on the first day.
Hey, he's been trying for a while. He did pretty very horribly in the last two times.
What
I heard
did he get
him
the other day? 10?
Well, he won, and then he stopped.
Yeah, he took a knee at the 3-yard line.
I kept throwing clues at him.
He said, "I'm good,"
and he was like, "No, I already won," because he was third, and he realized that he had won. Never seen that before in the history of the game. He just stopped.
Titans Bill did real good. He just isn't very fast.
I did hear that somebody did real bad. Heard the Bear took another L, this time at the hands of Brandon Ork. So as far as the drive goes, one day me and Brandon got to go head-to-head for champion of the drive, what you're talking about, just, you know, staff battle.
Mm-hmm.
I do accept your challenge, Brandon.
I'm ready whenever.
We'll do it one day.
Let's do it right now.
We'll make sure Bear's not here, so we don't want her to film. You're laughing, but it's true.
I mean, you're losing your touch.
You are an instigating son of a...
Chance is instigating ass.
No, I'm just saying. Like I heard, I didn't think that.
Hold it. Yeah,
it's one thing for me to beat the bear.
With a giant capital I on it for instigation.
It's one thing for me to beat the bear. It's another thing to let Brandon come in here and beat you.
Again, I'm trying to be professional about the damn game now because Russ won't even let me participate this year.
But you and Brandon did play, correct?
We played. It was a what part of demonstration? I mean, you graduated college. You're a smart guy. I know you are.
But, like, in this demonstration,
I was doing a demonstration round for the fans at home that may not have heard it.
And Brandon beat you.
Yeah, but.
Did you take the L or did you not take the L?
Was I trying? No, I was not trying, Chance. It wasn't giving maximum effort trying to down Brandon.
I wasn't trying.
Oh, my God.
He wasn't ready. Remember that, Kevin Hart? He wasn't ready. That's you. That's you.
Capital I for instigation.
Rebuttal.
Pot stir extraordinaire. Chance Collins, ladies and gentlemen.
He's a habitual line stepper.
That's John Tweet.
What you talk about? Why?
What did that come from? He's just on your mind.
There's several people that just get embarrassed. They get under his skin and just take up. They get in his head. They take up space. Right now. Ben Lee and John Tweed.
Oh, the
no, Ben Lee's not. Ben Lee's blocked. You want me to break down Ben Lee?
Block him?
Yeah,
which is the number one indication of somebody being in your head is that you block a coworker.
I'm not dealing with Ben Lee anymore. He's John's little mini-me. He's a troll.
You know you didn't. You
blocked him. Yeah, no, because he comes at me. You're the one who called him out and made fun of him.
You know how mad he is right now.
Okay?
You blocked him.
And he's scared of you because you're black. I'm just and he won't come at you. He just comes at me.
Oh my God!
What the?
There, it's out.
Oh my!
Ben Lee, you don't have to be scared. Let's talk, brother. Maybe that opens it up. I don't want to.
The hell just happened?
He should be scared of me. Just
I put it out there. You are. That's what the deal is.
You are just
woo deflector.
No, I'm not deflecting. You called him out back at the remote.
Ben was in his head.
Ben is in your head.
No, he's not anymore because he's not allowed to see my tweets. He's blocked.
You couldn't even mute him. You had to block the kid.
I'm not engaging him anymore.
Mm. Stay with us. The drive continues. What you talk about, your cue to call coming up.